Welcome to the Advisor Advocates Podcast. My name is Garrett Lill. I'm a certified financial planner and former advisor. And I started Advisor Advocates in this podcast to share with other advisors some of the experience that I like to say I accidentally accumulated over the course of my 13-year career, especially around the areas of the industry involving transitions from one firm to the other, advisor recruiting, M&A deals, things of that nature. Interesting thing for advisors that I've experienced in my career is that advisors are often on an island. We don't really know what's out there. We don't know what's going on outside the walls of our firm and outside the confines of our own practices. Especially when I was working in the recruiting industry and talking with advisors, there were just so many advisors who didn't know what they didn't know. So the purpose of this podcast and Advisor Advocates is to help bridge that information gap, to help advisors understand a little bit more about what the landscape looks like out there, what options are available to you, and sort of share some of the insights that I've ran into and hopefully answer some of the most common questions that advisors have. One of the most common themes that I get as a question, I can't say that there's necessarily one specific question necessarily that is asked most commonly, but there is a common theme that I seem to run into a lot where the types of questions that I'm answering the most, both advisors and firms reach out to me fairly frequently just to kind of learn what's out there. Firms don't necessarily know how much they should be paying their advisors because they don't know what everyone else is paying, and they don't know, they might be struggling to recruit advisors or struggling to fill a certain position, and they don't really know what it is that they're not offering. And at the same time, advisors are reaching out and kind of saying, hey, I don't know if I'm being fairly compensated. I don't know what else is out there. So I think there's a pretty large information gap between firms and advisors where nobody really necessarily knows how much advisors are worth and how much they advisors should be paid. So in this episode, I want to kind of dive into that a little bit and look at some of them. I'm sure there are going to be a couple of roles that I may miss, but for the most part, I can categorize the different roles into a few different categories, and we'll kind of spend some time going through for each of these types of positions, what is a fair compensation for advisors? What's the landscape look like? And what should firms expect to pay? And what should advisors be expecting to receive based on the types of work that they're doing for their firms? As we get into this, first of all, I know that if you're watching this video, you're probably not interested in hearing about all four levels because you're most likely in one of the four levels right now, and you're either curious to see if you could make more by changing levels or changing career paths, or you just want to know if you're fairly compensated for the role you're in now, or you're a firm who's looking to hire one of these four and you're looking to see, is your compensation model competitive? So for the sake of that, I'll go ahead and just give you the timelines here. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put them up on the screen as well so you can see the times to jump to in the video or in the podcast to get to the information that you're looking for. If you're looking for more information about employee advisor roles, I'm going to talk about that starting around the 8:15, 8:20 mark of the show. You can go ahead and skip there. If you are looking at independent options as what I call a tuck-in, where you're you own your book of business, but you're sharing resources with other local independents and office space and working as part of an independent team, that's going to start around the 21:30 mark of the show. And then if you are interested in how much you can make starting your own firm with an independent turnkey firm or starting your own RIA, that's going to be around the 23:30 mark of this show. And also conveniently, this is a great time for me to do this particular show, and it is a little bit self-promotional, so I apologize for that. But on the Advisor Advocates website, I've just finished putting advisor compensation calculators into the site in several different sections. So I wanted to kind of, I'll be kind of walking through that calculator and that tool with you a little bit to kind of outline how that tool works and to give you some background also on where this information is coming from, right? I mean, I can sit here and say anything that I want to say on a podcast or a YouTube video. How do you know that that's true? What's the source of the information? So to kind of give you that background, as an advisor, I worked in three of these four models. And then after selling my book, I've kind of looked around the industry, both for myself at first and then also for other advisors as well. So the data that I'm presenting in this is, it's not coming from an information source that you can look up online. I don't have links to validate the data. These are from my personal experiences with real firms that I know are looking for advisors, and I know what they're paying their advisors. So it's probably, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's real world data. But it's not from, you know, 20,000 firms worth of, you know, that were surveyed. It's from real experiences with the firms that I've worked with and have personal relationships with. So if I go through one of these compensation models and say this is what I think you can earn in this model, it's not just a hypothetical that I'm pulling from a Forbes article or a Wall Street Journal article. It is because I know specific people at specific firms that are looking for advisors that are paying them this now. So is it an average? I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the industry average, but it is, from my experience, what I'm seeing from having real conversations with firms and advisors out there as far as the compensation models go. So as we work through these, I'm going to be kind of presenting this as we go through it, almost as a, I hate to say it, and like I'm ranking them, but almost an hierarchy of the advisor career paths, and maybe kind of ranking them in terms of ascending order from least amount of income to highest amount of income. I don't mean that to be belittling of any particular role or to rank one as greater than the other or one preferred to any of the others, but that's just kind of the structure we're going to go through. So at a high level, I would say you have four different paths you can go, and maybe boiling that down to an even higher level, there are really three paths, and the first path has a couple of different subpaths. So you can work as an advisor, as an employee of a firm, as an independent tuck-in of a larger firm that services independent advisors, or you can start your own independent firm. The employee path sort of has two subcategories that we'll kind of break down, and I'll start there with the employee path. So when you think of having a job as a W-2 employee, typically we think of salary and benefits, and that is true for this first category, but then there's also a second category with the employee producer, where it's essentially 100% commission business, and you're really running your own business. Ultimately, their compensation is going to depend on how they run the business and on the profitability. So on the first of these paths, if you're looking at a salary position in the industry, this is an emerging trend, I guess I would say, in the industry where, I mean, 15, 20 years ago, it was very rare, I believe, to come across a salaried role as a financial advisor. That was one of my misconceptions in college. I assumed when I was wanting to be a financial advisor when I grew up that would come with a nice, juicy base salary and then bonuses based on how well I did for my clients. And I learned really quickly that's not at all the way the industry works. But over the last, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 years more specifically, you are starting to see that become a bigger role in compensation for some advisors and some firms. And if you're coming into a base salary role, there are kind of even two subpaths to that, right? You can be in a sales role where the firm is paying you a salary to keep you fed, and then your role is to go out and find clients and to go out and hunt for new business. And in that case, you may get a base salary. I would say most of the time you're going to get a base salary in some of these types of structures where you're maybe earning $60,000, $80,000, maybe $90,000 a year as a base, depending on your experience and the firm you're with. And then you're also going to get bonuses based on your hitting certain sales goals. These bonuses may be they may accumulate over time as a recurring revenue, or they may be a one-time bonus. So, for example, you may earn $60,000 a year as a base salary and then get a one-time bonus of $10,000 for every $1 million of new assets that you bring on. You may get 50% of the first-year commission on any product sales. And then you may also get a longer-term override where if those accounts go into advisory accounts or they go into some type of a product that has a back-end commission that pays, you know, a 1% back-end annual fee, maybe you get 10%, maybe 20% of that as a back-end compensation. So between that and your base, you may see that replace your base over time with some firms, or it may be added to it so that each year your base plus your recurring revenue or your recurring commissions is growing slowly, but you're still a salesperson. So you're still going to be in charge of going out and finding new clients. And I would say in most cases, the majority of your compensation is going to come from how successful you do that. And then on the upside range, if you're looking at how much money can I make in that role, it really does depend, and there's a pretty wide range of possible outcomes, I guess. But I would say a pretty fair median is probably around $200,000 if you're a good producer and a good salesperson. Theoretically, it may be unlimited in a lot of firms and a lot of different structures. So I have come across roles where you may have a $60,000 base, but the top producers at those firms have, you know, $500,000-$600,000 a year of income, and that's very possible to come across those. I would say to do that, you've got to latch on to the right firm who has a good value proposition and who has a great marketing engine to help assist your sales process, and you're going to have to be a heck of a salesman. I mean, frankly, you're going to have to be able to get the job done. But I would say it's pretty safe to say in most of these roles, if you're at a $60,000 base, if you're not earning at least $120,000 total, then you're most likely not going to be in that role very long, because it is still a little bit. I mean, it's sales. You are going to have to produce, or you're going to be looking for other income. Now, in the sales types of roles, I don't typically see the base salary increasing necessarily based on your experience. If you come in with 10 or 15 years of experience, they're probably not going to give you a $150,000 base because you have all this experience. That base is still probably going to be around $60,000, maybe $80,000 for some firms. Because they really are saying, okay, well, if you have that much experience, then you should be making, you should be set up to have more success on the sales side, and you're going to make more money as a function of that. But really your base is typically going to be five figures. I rarely see sales roles that have a six figure starting base, and then your total compensation is going to be determined by how good of a salesperson you are. The typical profile for these types of advisors, firms do tend to attract younger advisors that are good salespeople, young, hungry, very ambitious, looking to make as much money as they can really quickly. It does kind of follow the old school brokerage model a little bit, where they would go hire 50 kids out of college and pay them all, you know, minimum wage practically for 2 or 3 months, and then the top few producers would stick around and make a lot of money, and the rest would go find other jobs. But it's sort of that, but cleaned up quite a bit, and it's not, I don't mean to say that insulting to the firms who do that, because it's a much cleaner, much more, I don't want to say sophisticated, it's not the Wild Wild West that you saw in The Wolf of Wall Street, right? These are structured jobs by solid companies who are paying you a good salary, W-2 benefits, everything that you need. And they're giving you the infrastructure to go out and hunt, but you're going to have to be able to deliver on that end to stick around. Now, there is a second category of that salary path where you may be more in line of being a service advisor. This is really the role that's probably becoming a little bit more emerging in the last, you know, 5-10 years, because there are plenty of firms out there that you may be able to participate in the growth of bringing on new accounts. And if you do bring on new accounts, you're going to be able to make extra money from that. But there are some that won't even include that in the compensation. You are strictly here to service clients. And for a lot of advisors, especially nowadays with the fiduciary standard being such a big thing, a lot of folks with accounting backgrounds or engineering backgrounds who really like working with numbers, they even like working with people, but they hate sales. They hate commissions. They don't like having to go out and sell products. They just really want to sit down one-on-one with a family, learn about their situation, give objective advice, and be compensated for the advice they're giving. And they don't want to have to worry about hitting a certain sales target to feed the family or to keep their job. So those are starting to emerge, and they are out there. They're not, I don't want to say they're uncommon. They're still harder to find than these other paths, but if you're an advisor who really feels that that's the path that you want to go on, we should talk, and I can certainly reach out to some folks, and I know how to reach out and find those types of opportunities, because I do know they're out there. I have seen them. I know there are firms that contact me all the time saying that they're looking for this type of an employee, and they want to know if I can connect them with someone. So I definitely can get you connected there and help you find a search for the right firm if you're interested in that. These types of roles tend to follow more of a corporate compensation and career path structure, right? So your base pay is going to be a base plus bonus structure, where your base is going to make up a larger percentage of your overall compensation than you might be in a sales type role. But your base is going to be determined by your experience, by your resume, just like it would if you went out and tried to get a job in a typical corporate type of an environment. So if you're a younger advisor or a newer advisor, kind of breaking into the industry, maybe you're studying for the CFP, or you may have even just passed the CFP, or some of the other designations you can have by your name. If you're studying for that, or just maybe recently acquired some of those designations, base salary is going to be probably in the $60,000 to $80,000 a year range, and then you will get bonuses based on your own client satisfaction, whether that be client retention or client growth or client surveys. There's different ways they can structure that, and then a lot of times you'll get a profitability bonus and maybe even a referral bonus or some type of a bonus for helping to bring new business to the firm in different ways. And with all of those bonuses packaged together, your total compensation may be in the $80,000 to $120,000 a year range. As you stick around, especially within the industry or with one firm, and you start to graduate up a little bit to higher levels, maybe in the 5 to 10 year experience level, your base increases. Maybe you get a promotion with a different title, and now your base is in the 80 to 100 range. Maybe 120 might be safe in some of these 5 to 10 year roles. And then your total compensation is probably going to fall somewhere in the $120,000 to $150,000 a year range if you're a solid employee who's performing at a high level in all of your roles. And then as you get even more advanced in your career to, you know, what I would call like a level 3 10-plus years of experience, your base is going to start to adjust more towards the $120,000 to $150,000 a year range, and total compensation is going to be maybe even in the $200,000 to $250,000 range. Really, at that level, it starts to depend a lot on the culture of the firm and how that is bonused and how those structures look. At that point in your career, a lot of times you're starting to get partnership opportunities, so how much of the additional compensation you're going to have is going to depend on how profitable the firm is, how much equity you're getting, how that's divided up. I would say as a fair median, if you're an experienced 10, 15-year advisor who's coming into that type of a servicing role and doing a good job and keeping folks around, 120 to 150 base, and probably 200. 200 might be a little bit high on the low end there, maybe 180 to 250 as the total compensation if you add it all together. But that's just to kind of give you some roadmap of what you should expect as you advance through your career down that salary path. The final sort of category, and I would kind of put this as this whole show has been about categories and subcategories. Now we're kind of back to the other type of employee role, which is really the employee producer. And it's much simpler to explain and to kind of walk through. Think of your wirehouse firms, the big firms that you see commercials for on TV that, you know, I don't like to name specific names. I don't like to call anybody out in particular. A lot of the big employee shops out there where you're going to go to work for them, they're going to give you all the tools to operate your business, run your business, give you an office space, give you business cards, give you every marketing and a brand behind you and everything you need to get your job done. But it's their business. So, you know, if you try to leave, you're going to have non-competes and you're going to have things like that. But you get the stability of getting to run a business with unlimited income, with everything supplied to you that you're going to need to be successful in that business without having to really do anything for yourself to create the business itself. Now, occasionally you will get, and I'll say this is somewhat rare, but they are out there. I know of one in particular that I'm pretty close with who does offer a base salary, even in this type of a model. Again, it's all base salaries right now in the industry seem to be gravitating to around that $60,000 a year number in a lot of different areas, really. So there are some roles out there where you can have a base of around $60,000 and then a payout that's a percentage of the revenue that your clients are generating for the firm. If you are getting a base, the payout's going to be a little bit lower. If you're not getting a base, then you're going to tend to get a higher payout. With a base, it's pretty competitive to expect maybe a 20 to 30% payout on the revenue you generate from bringing in new business. And then also, because it's your business and it is all kind of assigned to you as you're the salesperson bringing on the clients, but you're also the service person who's continuing to maintain those relationships, all of the recurring revenue is going to compound on itself and grow over time. So you bring in $10 million the first year at a 20% payout, that's $20,000. But the next year, if you bring in another $10 million in new assets, you're going to get that 20 plus last year's 20, now you're at 40, and it does start to stack up. So with a salary, it's typically going to be that 20 to 30 range. Without a salary, 40 to 50 is probably the sweet spot that I would expect. There are some firms out there where you can be an employee with those types of benefits and that type of structure, and even up to maybe a 60% payout. Your payout is going to be a function of the firm you're with, what they're providing for you, and then also obviously, again, that base salary and how that works. And you may start at a 20 to 30% payout with a base. And then as you produce more and more and more, that base may start to fade away and your payout go up to a point where you graduate to a point where you're now at a 45 or 50% payout without a base because you don't need it, right? If you're a $1 million producer at a 30% payout, you're really not that concerned about the $60,000 base at that point. And a lot of times as you graduate up in production, the base goes away and it's replaced with other types of bonuses based on overall profitability, based on you may start to get partnership and equity in the firm you're with. So it starts to sort of sunset out that salary and replace it with other income as you grow. The profile for this type of a role is going to be advisors who are great salespeople. They love the job. They love being financial advisors. They love building long-term relationships with folks, but they do not like running businesses. They do not want to have to worry about filing, you know, business tax returns. They don't want to have to worry about setting up LLCs. They don't want to have to worry about designing a website and business cards and all this stuff. They are great salespeople with maybe lacking a little bit in the organizational skills side, and they want to plug and play in a proven system and just go to work and sell that brand and profit from their sales skills and their people skills from continuing to maintain good relationships. So that's really your employee producer role. So as you continue to kind of graduate up, you get to what I kind of refer to as the independent tuck-in. And this is one of my, I will say, I try not to be biased on the show, but I do think that the independent tuck-in is one of the, I'd kind of refer to it as the sweet spot for advisors, because with independent tuck-ins, you're aligning yourself with a group of other local independent advisors who are all kind of sharing best practices and sharing resources and teaming up and working together, but with each producer owning their own individual books of business. So you have equity in your client list. If you are unhappy working with the group that you're with and you want to unplug and go independent or go plug into a different group, or if you want to sell your practice, you're in control of what you do with your client list in that model. But because you're independent, these do tend to land at a little bit higher payout. That payout's going to depend on a few things. Most importantly, it's going to be the size of your business. Also, it's going to be the fee structure of the firm you're aligning with. But once you've taken all of the net revenue or the gross revenue your clients have produced for you, and then you subtracted the affiliation fees and account fees and errors and omissions insurance and all these other things that kind of come into the business, you're still going to land probably at a 70 to 80% payout is probably a pretty good range to use. There may be some situations where it's 65. There may be some that are 85, especially if you're a big producer, maybe in, you know, $1 million plus of production. But that's a really, you know, when you look at that compared to the employee model, you're getting almost double the net income to you as the advisor, but you are still getting probably 90% of what you were getting in the employee role to be in that model. So you're doubling your income without increasing your workload hardly at all. And in some cases, that may even actually reduce your workload to some extent, depending on which firm you're depending on which tuck-in you're comparing to which employee model. There are some situations where life gets easier as you double your income. So those are really attractive options for a lot of advisors. And then when you step up, maybe the one final layer of the advisor career path or the advisor life cycle is to go totally independent. And there are a couple of different ways you can even go about doing that. You can start your own independent RIA, register with the SEC or your local state securities office, or you can also align yourself with what are commonly referred to as turnkey RIAs or turnkey independent broker dealers, where you design your own DBA, you have your own LLC, you operate under your own brand, you have total autonomy over how to run your practice, but you pay a small share of your revenue to align with this independent turnkey firm. Now, these types of firms tend to stay very much out of your way and off the radar to your clients. Your clients may not even see, unless they're really going through your paperwork and paying really close attention to the onboarding forms and your website and your disclosures, they may not even know that this firm exists. They are very invisible. They run in the background as a service provider to independent firms. And in these types of setups, you're probably going to have a 90 to 95% retention of your revenue that can even approach 97, 98%, depending on the firm. One key distinction that we do have to kind of bring into the equation here, though, is that that is not going to come with office space, and it's not with the tuck-in model. You typically have an office space that you can use. Maybe you pay a little bit of rent to use your one office, but that's not the same as going out and finding your own office space and building it all out. So you are going to have to worry about you having your own office space, hiring your own staff, paying your own electric bill and your internet bills and all that kind of stuff, paying for your employee benefits if you're offering those to your employees or other advisors or your assistants. So what your true net is going to be as an independent is really going to depend more on what your costs are after you take out that 3 to 5, maybe 10% that you're paying to the mothership firm, so to speak. But in terms of raw gross payout, before you account for those expenses, the independent turnkey model is going to be in that 90 to 97% range of your revenue, depending on, again, how much production you're doing. The bigger you are, obviously, the higher it's going to be. Now, I'll kind of close with this little bonus of what if you want to start your own RIA? And it's a very short segment because it's the shortest answer ever. It really depends. The cost of running an RIA really depends on your firm, your structure, how you're going to go about doing it. For example, I ran a small RIA from a home office for 7 years, never spent more than probably 10 grand in a single year to run it. And I know of firms that will claim that it costs at least $500,000 to run an RIA. And I know that is absolutely not true in all cases, but in their case, it probably is. So when you're looking at your options, especially if you're at that point, if you're watching this video kind of looking at how much can I earn as an RIA versus how much can I earn as with an independent firm, that's really going to depend on how much you spend. I do see situations where you will actually net less as your own RIA than plugging into a larger independent network that's going to have a lot more economy of scale to spread those same fixed costs out over a larger revenue base. But you will control 100% of your revenue as an independent RIA. So if whatever clients pay, that's what you collect, and then you kind of decide for yourself what you want to spend out of that. So That's the from base salary, 0 to 5 years of experience, all the way up to running your own RIA. That is the progression and the career life cycle of a financial advisor and the different paths that you can have. I really hope that you find this this video and this podcast useful and helpful in answering some of those questions in terms of what's out there. And if there are any questions that you have that I didn't answer, feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to chat and have a conversation and answer more specifically questions you may have about your situation. You can give me a call at my cell phone number anytime, 919-561-2436. I do encourage you to maybe shoot me a text ahead of time. Let me know you're going to be calling so I know that you're someone that I want to speak with and not a salesperson. And then there's also links all over the Advisor Advocates website, as well as these calculators that we've talked about that you can use to get in touch with me or learn a little bit more about your situation. Join the Advisor Resource Center if you'd like. And there are calendar links all over the Advisor Advocates website for you to reach out and schedule time at your convenience, or just shoot me an email to garrett@theadvisoradvocates.com. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Hope you found it useful. See you next time.